As some of you may be aware, for some years I was chairman of FLAME, the Family Life and Marriage Education Network in the Church of England, now sadly defunct. So the way we are as families has been one of my major concerns. So you can imagine I have concerns about people who seem to abuse their families in various ways. Take, for example, a man who decides to uproot his family and emigrate, not after any consultation with them, but just because he thinks it's what God wants him to do. Or take a man who decides to practice mutilation of his son's genitals, or a man who has children with more than one woman at the same time, a man who marries his sister, or a man who contemplates killing his own son and comes very close to doing so. Not the kind of people you would want to hold up as an example to others, are they? As you may already have realised, all of these men of dubious character are actually the same person. The man who started out life as Abram, but became known as Abraham. We hear about him in both Old Testament and New Testament readings today. What we heard about today was the decision to uproot his family from what I suppose we would now call Iraq, and make a long and arduous journey to what we now call Israel or Palestine. Because he had to avoid the desert, it would have been about 2,000 miles. I reckon that at the very minimum that must have taken 2 years, because although our reading simply says, "and Lot went with him," we're actually talking about his whole extended family, hundreds of them probably, together with their slaves and their animals. It's a mass migration, and all because he believes God has promised them a new home. And all those other things I mentioned, we also read about in the Bible. Circumcision has become acceptable because Jews and Muslims have always practiced it. But if it wasn't like that, and some religious leader today said that in future all boys had to be circumcised as part of their religion, there'd be an outcry about child abuse. And someone who got to the stage of tying his teenage son to an altar and raising a knife to kill him as a sacrifice to a god would be in prison or Broadmoor quicker than the hot knife through butter. But Abraham was a vital leader, an essential part of God's purpose for his people, and he did many things which were quite remarkable. And despite acting out convictions that God was telling him to do various things, he also challenges God about his intended destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. You remember he argues that if he can find even 10 faithful people there, God should not do as he threatened. In a chapter about Abraham in a book about Old Testament characters, Jonathan Magonet, who is a Jewish rabbi, said this: "With such a figure as Abraham, we can never be completely at ease. But without a figure of such challenging power and authority, perhaps the rest of the Hebrew Bible would never have been created." And as Christians, we might say that the story of his people leading to the birth of Jesus might not have happened. In Romans, Paul talks about us all being, about Abraham being father of us all, because our faith springs from the faith he had in God's purpose. I say all this because it's important that we read the stories of these great men of God with our eyes wide open, and seeing that although God used them, they were like any of the rest of us, not perfect, people who sometimes got it wrong, sometimes very wrong. Hopefully, later this year, you will have a new priest in charge, one who I have every confidence God has called to this parish. He or she probably won't have to travel 2,000 miles to get to Ludlow, and they almost certainly won't bring their extended family and flock of goats with them. But whoever it is will have to have the conviction that this is where God wants them to be. But think of yourselves not as the inhabitants of Canaan, where Abraham arrived eventually, but rather as that person's fellow travellers on a journey you'll make together. And like Abraham, you don't know where that journey will end up. St. Lawrence is about to start on another stage of its journey with God, and those journeys are usually full of surprises, because we never know what God has in mind for us. It's good to have a leader, and we all need people who will challenge us and inspire us to do things that we wouldn't otherwise dream of. But that person can't do it alone. The risk for any parish is that once their new incumbent arrives, everyone sits back and expects him or her to get on with it. If you do that, you'll soon have an exhausted priest, and you won't have made any progress on your journey. This is a shared story, and although whoever comes will have an important part to play in it, they can't play all the characters. In what I'm saying, I'm using he, him, but that's not to presume the gender of the new priest in charge. I'm just saying a lot of repetition of he or she and so on. So look after that person well, so that he can look after you well. Make sure he has your support and knows it. Pray for him regularly, because apart from anything else, that will help you to find out what your part is in the shared enterprise. Make sure he has proper time off, which means respecting his day off. It means making sure he has time to go on a retreat, has time to study and to pray himself. You need him to be someone who can be, as well as someone who will do things. And thinking of Abraham, accept the fact that he won't always get it right. Abraham was a flawed human being, but God used him to bring about a major development in the story of our knowledge of him. You and your next priest in charge are also flawed human beings, but that is what we offer to God week by week. And the miracle is that God uses our imperfect lives to be part of the work of his kingdom. As Paul said, his strength is made perfect in our weakness. We are earthenware pots, he says, but rough and ready as we are, we can help bring in the kingdom for which we pray in the Lord's Prayer. Abraham, that flawed man, set out on his journey with faith and hope. May God bless you in the journey you're about to begin. I know he will.